because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is obviously not my underground bunker. Looks a little bit different, doesn't it, than that big stadium you normally see behind me? Thanks for joining us here on Friday, Flea Flicker Friday. I'm a little bit distracted. I got a big... Jared said, don't put my glasses on, because when I do, see that? I get the reflection of my computer screen. I'm on my phone down here. High tech, man. This is high tech stuff. What can I say? I'm at Chad's. We're here for... Jeremiah's funeral. Got some stuff to show you from last night. They had a viewing last night that turned into a worship service. I'm going to show you some of that clip. Is amazing. We didn't get a chance to get up there. I'm in Moody, Texas, which is about an hour probably to get up to Waco. Michelle and I flew all day. Got in. By the way, oh sorry, hang on here, boys. I'm lucky. I made it. We got molested at the airport. It's unbelievable. And for some reason, we walked through those scanners, and Michelle had on buttons or something on her button-up fly or whatever on her blue jeans, and I don't know what the heck I was, but the next thing I know, they're both there. They got those gloves on, and they're standing there looking at you, you know, and I think, what? Yeah, we're going to have to pat you down. So pat you. You know, I told the guy, I said, listen, dude, hey, I'm going to take off my shirt right here, and I'll tell you what else. You get two people to stand around me, and I'm going to take off my pants. And I'm going to stand here stark naked, and we can do this thing right here, and we'll get it over with. I don't want you touching me. I don't want you running your hand up my rump. I don't want that going on. Well, he got kind of nervous, and I don't know if he's going to call TSA. Well, he was TSA. Get me arrested. So we stand there. We both got molested, running their hands up my, oh, my goodness, feeling down around my junk. It's crazy. It's crazy. And when the lady got done, I was standing there watching them do it to my wife. I should have gone to jail. That's what I should have done. I said to the lady, listen, ma'am, I want you to know something. If a man had done what you just did to my wife, I'd have smacked him, and I ought to smack you. And that's what I feel about it. Well, what is that all about? Well, that's a whole nother story. So we're honored to be down here. Josh, man, as I hadn't seen Josh in a while. He's sitting on the couch over there. A couple folks still sleeping here. So I'm trying to, you know, it's only 6 o'clock here in where am I? Temple, Texas, Moody, Texas, wherever it is. So sometimes, folks, when I put my glasses on like this, it's going to be a little bit light because it's a reflection of my computer screen, but I got to do this to make sure I understand what the heck's going on here. So bear with me if you can. Yeah, let's get that off of there. I want to show you. It is Flea Flicker Friday, and I got a lot of stuff to throw out on the table. And, hey, I'm looking at the wrong camera. You know what I'm really encouraged about? Some of you are growing. Some of you have growing pains. And so the whole are you really born again thing is, it's lit quite a firestorm. And some people didn't like it. I think it was good. Because see, this whole thing is ultimately about self-evaluation. And if I raise a question, anybody raises a question, an issue here on this show, and it doesn't set right with you, maybe you better ask what's wrong with you. And then always the other guy, it's not always the guy making the accusation, right? So I think it's all good. I'm not here to question anybody's Christianity. Don't know whether you're saved or not. Just simply asking some questions. That's all I'm doing here. Vince is back today. Good to see you, Vince. We've got a good crowd in here in the huddle. Let me see what we got rolling in. Oh, yeah, we got a good crowd in the huddle. So it is Flea Flicker Friday, but I want to flick a couple things on the table here before we get going, some things I just think you need to see. Jared, let's go to stuff there. I want to show you guys. I don't want to spend the whole time on Jeremiah. There's a couple things I want you to see here about three things that just absolutely blew me away. I'm sorry, I keep looking up to my computer. Jared, play that first thing. It's a Jeremiah, it says Jeremiah's, a 2-minute video that they made of Jeremiah. Yeah, folks, we don't even have any idea the influence that he's had across the world. And I, as I said to Rusty, a good name, there's nothing as good as a good name. And Jeremiah's name's going to be forever good. It's going to, for what he did, it's going to be forever good. Forever good. Forever. And somebody put this little 2-minute video together, and it's just, it's pretty powerful. So Jared, go ahead and play that real quickly.
There are many ways to be brave in this world. Sometimes bravery is laying down your life for something bigger than yourself. Sometimes bravery is nothing more than gritting your teeth through pain. And sometimes it's letting go of everything. My name is Jeremiah Thomas. I have bone cancer, and I am dying. 3 months ago, I was diagnosed with an aggressive cancer. The doctors say my time is almost up. My dream to play college football is dead. My dream to minister is dead. I was absolutely blindsided by this news. In less time than it takes to play a full football season, my life has been taken over by cancer. So here I am. I'm lying down in bed, typing this letter. I've lost my hair, my ability to walk, the sensation in my legs and back, and my football career. But I haven't lost my faith in hope in God. In fact, my faith in Him has been strengthened. I've grown so much closer to my Savior, knowing full well my life is in His hands. He has been with me every step of the way, guiding me and teaching me. I don't know how much time I have left on this earth, but with what time I do have, I want to account for God and my generation. This is my call to my generation. Leave it all behind. We've grown up in a culture of death, sexual confusion, immorality, and fatherlessness. 1/3 of our generation has been wiped out due to abortion. Over 25 million people have died as a result of AIDS. More young people die from suicide than from cancer and the other 7 leading causes of death combined. My call to you today is to come back to the Father. Leave behind the darkness, deception, and despair. If you're going through depression, there is hope in Christ. If you're battling disease, there is healing in Christ. If you're contemplating suicide or abortion, there is abundant life found in Christ. Let's make a journey of saving faith back to the Father's house. It is there and there only we will find light, love, and life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is my sincere prayer that you will take my words to heart and be reconciled to the Lord through the merits of Jesus Christ. May God's kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name.
Wow, huh?
Coach, I want to piggyback that, what we just saw, on what you said just before we saw it. You talked about examining yourselves. I want to remind everyone that examining yourselves was so important to God that He had Paul write in the letter to the church at Corinth concerning what they were going through when they were doing the communion deal, when they were getting together. God had Paul write this rebuke to the church at Corinth. This is part of that correction and rebuke part of being a Christian. Verses 28 and 29 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Self-examination is pretty important.
Amen, Larry. And believe it or not, I try to do that all the time. I wrestle with myself after this show. I wrestle with my wife. Should I have said this? Should I not have said that? And so the last thing I want to do is ever come across as holier than thou. I just ask the questions that I believe the Holy Spirit gives me. And I'm going to tell you this. Golly, we must hate our children. We must hate our children. The stuff that we're allowing, that we're permitting, not only to be taught to our kids in schools, but the filth that comes over the internet, the stupid phone that I pick up, all of this stuff. We must hate our kids. We don't understand the simplicity of the gospel anymore. We don't even know what it means. We think that those of us who carry the name of Christ, that we're just part of a big club. You come, you get saved, you go to church, you're part of this big club, and then let all the world around you just go to hell. I don't know. And so we cannot win this battle without young kids. Can't. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, it's Joel, and I don't know where it is, Jared. Joel, book of Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Does anybody know exactly where that is, Jared? Maybe you can find that. Yeah, good old Jared's pulling it up there for us. I don't have my Bible with me. I didn't bring it on the plane. I could have gotten one, but if Jared's trying to get that up there, yeah, book of Joel. Book of Joel. In the last days. See, we talk a lot about the last days, and there it is. There it is. Second Joel. Joel 2. So it looks like, no. You know, Joel 2. Book of Joel. In the last days. There it is. 2:28. There you go. Jared's getting it up there for us so we can all read this together. Sorry about my glasses there. what did it say? Let me put, here it is. And it shall come to pass afterwards. Man, look. Ooh, man, have I got something for you on Monday. I'm just telling you. The Holy Spirit downloaded it to me on the plane yesterday. Oh, my goodness. Michelle will tell you. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the God, Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. It shall come to pass afterward. Oh, folks, this afterward is so important. After what? After what? Well, I don't have time to go into it now. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days shall I pour out my spirit. So if it's the last days, there's an outpouring of the Spirit coming like we have never, ever seen. Don't miss Monday because I want to crack this open to you. But I want to show you something else. Jared, if you go, I'll put this back up here now. Just bear with me, folks. I'm sorry for the low tech here today. Everybody knows Lexi. Lexi Hall. God bless Lexi Hall. Lexi went to the viewing last night. As I said, we didn't get a chance to get over there. But Lexi went. They drove from Houston. It's about 5 hours. She and her mom. And after it was over, Lexi made a video from her car. And I don't know how many of you have seen Lexi's video from her car, but it's straight from the heart. She's 17 years old, same generation as Jeremiah. See, weird, right? Lexi's weird. Why? Because she loves the Lord and serves the Lord and wants to defend the babies. She's weird. Something wrong with that girl. That girl's weird. That's society, the culture that we're in. She can't go to her church to find anybody else to join her. Oh, she's weird. She's been following that coach. She's weird. And Lexi, our own, 17 years old, made this video. And Jared, it's in our stuff. I think it says, you'll pull it up there for me. And this is, we may not watch it all. It's about 4 minutes long. But I'm telling you, when I watched this last night, Lexi, I want you to know it impacted me. And I also know there's been 1,000 views. Now, this is how to, no, that's the wrong one. Jared, let me see. Are you kidding me? Oh, go to my Facebook page. I'm sorry. Go to my Facebook page. That's where it is. And Lexi, Lexi ain't some big, well-known, famous YouTuber. She's just a 17-year-old girl, makes a YouTube video. There it is. And it's had over 1,000 views already because it's very, very penetrating, I think. Hey, Jared, stop there a minute. Hey, yeah, there you go. Okay, here you go. This is Lexi. This is another one of Jeremiah's generation. They have more sense and more love of the Lord than we grown-ups. I hate that term. Us. You got more sense than us. Go ahead, Jared.
Video talking about the impact that Jeremiah Thomas has made in my life. I never did meet Jeremiah, but he was used mightily in my life to open my eyes, and God has truly convicted me and revealed many things to me through the testimony of Jeremiah. So I just wanted to make a video to glorify God through this and in remembrance of Jeremiah and how God used him mightily in so many others' lives. So Jeremiah he never had an excuse to stop working for the kingdom, to stop holding back those who are being led to the slaughter. He never made an excuse. He just kept going to his last breath. He put everybody else before him. He put the lives of the preborn before him. He put the souls of the lost before him. He was in pain. He was in pain. And he still kept going. He still kept fighting for Christ and letting the Holy Spirit just take over and do God's will through him. Many souls were saved and many lives were saved through him, through his testimony, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And he has convicted me. How many excuses do I make for not going out to hold back those who are being led to the slaughter more, not going out to the abortion clinics more, by putting my comfort before the souls that are going to be in hell for all eternity, because I want to feel comfortable, so I'm not going to go try to save some souls. It's wicked. And Jeremiah never did that. He kept going. He kept going. Do we keep going? He couldn't walk, and he still went out to the abortion clinic. He was in pain, and he still went out to the abortion clinic. When I have a cold, I don't want to go out to the abortion clinic. Jeremiah Thomas had massive tumors. He was sick. Sicker than I've ever been, sicker than many people have ever been. And he still did more work in his 5 months, 6 months of him being terminally ill than many people have done in their whole entire lives. He let the Holy Spirit take over. He let God do what he wanted with his life. His family let God do what he wanted with his life. Glory to God. So I just wanted to make this video to just say, Jeremiah never made an excuse. He didn't make an excuse. He was sick. He could have just said he was too tired to call Governor Abbott. He was too sick feeling to call Governor Abbott. He was too sick to write the letter to his generation to preach the sermons that he preached. He was too tired. He could have made so many excuses. And I am perfectly healthy. And how many excuses do I make? I hope this convicts people. I hope his testimony convicts more people, and that his testimony is spread even farther than it is spread now. But hallelujah, how far it has spread.
Jared, you go ahead and stop that. Folks, you can view that later. It's on my Facebook page. That was what they call a gentle rebuke. What excuse do we have? What excuse do you have? Huh? None. We have no excuse. I got beady eyes when I get close to it. God bless Lexi. God bless. Why are we living in a culture and a society where Lexi's a weirdo? Lexi, you're not a weirdo. God bless you, dear. Where she's considered a weirdo. In church, she's considered a weirdo. She goes and visits her pastor. Pastor considers her a weirdo. Serving the Lord makes you a weirdo. Being sold out for Christ makes you a weirdo. Being on fire for the kingdom makes you a weirdo. Laying down your life for others makes you a weirdo in today's society. God help us. But see, there's hope, right? In his last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. His sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall dream dreams. Old men shall see visions. There's something coming, folks. There's something coming. I'm not an end time doomsdayer. I'm just telling you, there is something coming like we ain't never seen. And we better be ready. Ooh, I got something for you on Monday. We better be ready for the reaping of the days that are ahead of us. Don't forget this. The Lord said, the fields are ripe unto harvest. Pray for workers. He didn't say pray for sowers. He didn't say pray for preachers. He didn't say pray for those who will go work with the sick. No, no. He says you pray for reapers because the day is coming. Oh, I can't wait till Monday. Let me give you some of that download. Okay, let me move on. Somebody want to jump in? I don't. Jared, while we're doing that, go to my Facebook page again. I think that's where it is. Go to my Facebook page. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
So, Stephen here. I dropped in a link into the chat that is a sermon from Times Square Church from last Sunday entitled When God Passes By. And it speaks to what you're talking about and the same things that Jeremiah and Lexi are speaking to. And just wanted to read a little scripture here so that we can all do a bit of a gut check. And the gut check is from 2 Peter 1, verses 4 through 10. And the idea is that we have a test. We should be growing and increasing in certain characteristics. So I'll just start reading it. So,
all right, Stephen. Again, get that again so Jared can get it up there.
2 Peter 1, verses 4 through 10.
All right. We got her up, Stephen. Go ahead.
All right. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
Wow. That is unbelievable. What are those things, Stephen? If you do these things, go back up, Jared. Go up to about seven.
The list of things.
There's the list. Yeah, there it is.
Faith,
there's the list.
Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And these are the things that we should be increasing in all the time. And so the gut check is, are you increasing in these things?
Hey, boy.
You see what it says? It says brotherly kindness, brotherly charity. Not giving God's blessings to the world, sharing and building up the body of Christ with what God has given you.
That's a whole nother story there for sure, Larry. Anybody else? I got something else going to blow you away here. I want you to see. I want to get off. I don't want to spend all the time on the funeral, but I think it's important. So last night, that viewing, people ask, is the casket open? Yeah, casket's open. I had a viewing last night. And I want you to watch what broke out at the viewing last night. And folks, this wasn't a service last night. This was a viewing, And Jared, go to my Facebook page there. And I got a couple different places I want you to play. First of all, this is Jeremiah's brother. This is his brother. Last night, Jeremiah in the casket in front of him. Go ahead, Jer.
Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. The thousand reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord. When my strength is failing.
You can stop it there, Jared. Folks, is that a picture right there on that screen? Is that a picture? Praising the Lord as his brother lays in the casket in front of him. That's what I said to Rusty the other day. Your family died so well. It's easy to dance and sing and praise the Lord when you win the lottery, get a new baby born, get rescued from something. It's one of the most powerful things I've ever watched. Somebody come on in here. Michelle, get me a Kleenex over there. Does anybody feel shamed? I feel shamed.
Coach, that is so powerful, that witness and testimony. I almost half expecting him to crawl out of that casket and join into the celebration of Christ.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Blows us away.
It is amazing. The funeral will be today. Flip Benham's doing the funeral.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Rod.
I want the huddle to take my comments correctly. You know, you're not always sure when you bring a topic or slide the topic in this direction, but I think what you're reporting is how it's touched me is, I think we have to always remember, and this is not negative in any way, that life is not a sprint. Huh. It is a long distance race. In my own life, and I think of maybe other men in the huddle, I think at least half men on the huddle have had times where their life was like Jeremy's and where they were on fire and they were sprinting. And I wonder what happened to us at times and what happened to us in that. I know that life is a long distance race. I understand the enthusiasm of Christ, but why is it sometimes we have young people we can pinpoint in our life and what happened, what slowed us? And that's not necessarily bad, but we've got to take, you know, kind of a look at ourselves, because we have something slowed us down, some of us, you know, not all of us.
Most of us.
And that's what kind of me this morning is we, the young people need to remember too, that life is not a sprint. It is a long distance race. And to remain on fire for Christ, you've got to be obedient to his word, and you have to be in his word and many other things. And I'm not saying I've done all that, but that's how it's.
I would tell you this. A child's faith is probably a reflection of yours. That's a painful thing to think about. But we all do the best we can to raise our children, right? If we could all go back and do it all over again, certainly we would do many things different. But there's no doubt that when we look at a generation, that we're losing a generation. The reason we're losing a generation is because they've watched. That's what I think. They've watched what's really important to us, what really matters, what we really pursue. They've watched how we behave in private. They watch the things that are done and said in our home. They watch the way we go to church and with this one person in church and then the way that we act when we come home. They've seen it. And so they have this form of godliness. They deny the power thereof. They learned that from us. Jared, look up for the scripture. Somebody else can come in here. Who hath bewitched you? Because this goes to what Art Roger just said. Who hath bewitched you? See if you can. Foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? I think it's Galatians 4, but I'm not sure. Somebody else want to come in? It's okay if you don't want to, man. I don't even know what to say myself. I got a lot of stuff I can get to. Jared, did you find it? Who hath bewitched you?
Dave.
Hang on. Yeah, hear me. Go ahead, Chad. Yes.
Well, I was just going to say, Roger, I think you're on the right track. It's a marathon, but see, we think we have more time. We always think we have more time. Look, tomorrow is promised to no one. So if you're lacking salvation or whatever, redemption or whatever it is, if you have been keeping forgiveness from others, then do that today.
Amen.
Seek everything today. Don't wait. We don't know what tomorrow brings. Amen. I can tell you that I've seen people die eating a hamburger. So, you know, that guy thought he had a lot more time. We just don't know. So it's precious. The gift of life is precious. Yep. We need not take it for granted. That's all I got.
Hey, man, thanks. Hey. Chad, thanks for the coffee. Thanks for the coffee at your house, by the way. Yes.
All right, Coach, I'm on the road. Go ahead. I hope we will break up.
George, breaking up.
My internet.
George, breaking up is hard. Hard for you. Well, every once in a while. No. Can't hear you, man. Can't, George. We love you, but we can't hear you. So come back in or do something else. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Boy, that's a... Hey, Mark Trump, there's some data there, baby. Who hath bewitched you? Hey, Jared, Webster's. What's Webster say about bewitched?
Bewitched.
You remember that, right? Bewitched. Who hath bewitched you? Oh, my goodness. What's it say? Huh? Fascinated. Charmed. Who has charmed you? To bewitch is to... to fascinate, to gain ascendancy over by charms or incantation, an operation which was formerly supposed to injure the person bewitched so that he lost his flesh or behaved in a strange and unaccountable manner. Ignorant people being inclined to ascribe to evil spirits which they could not account for. Bewitched. Who hath bewitched you, foolish? Who hath bewitched you, Coach Dave? Who hath bewitched you, Larry? Who hath bewitched you, Josh? Jim Kraft, who hath bewitched you? That's what we're talking about here, see? Chad, who hath bewitched you? Think that you're going to live forever. Who's bewitched you? Do you think you're going to get away with all this stuff? Who's bewitched you? He's speaking to believers. Who hath bewitched us? Wow. Foolish Galatians. Come on in. Is that George?
That better now? Can I break it up?
Yeah, that's better. It's relative. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm on the road. I think. Okay. Hey.
It's not better.
Hey, I think what we're sensing about Jeremiah, I mean, that's touching me very deeply, is that he made his life all about Jesus Christ. He made his life about make it about Jesus, we're on the right road. If we make it about us, we're not.
Well, not only that, see, he made it about him when he realized he didn't have any time left. See, that's where we're bewitched. We think we got time left. I'll do it next week. Oh, I'll get to that next year. we'll end abortion. We'll get there. We'll get there. We're bewitched.
Dave, he kept. Dave, he kept sprinting. He realized, you know, his time was short, and you know, thoughts are what prevents us from sprinting our entire life. I know it's a long distance race, but most of us think it's an 880 or you know, 2400.
Yeah, that's right. But Roger, for the most part, we sprint in our business life. We sprint on a job. We work double shifts. We work overtime. We sprint there.
And even in my job, Dave, I look at it as a long distance. It's a long haul, baby, till I retire. I'm going to keep on plodding along, keep trying to stay faithful, getting up at work, going to work, you know, coming home, paying the bills. That's how our faith should be. It's a long distance race. I've seen men who, and again, please comments. I think these young people are right on, but I've seen the fire in a man for 6 months. Faith.
Yeah, me too.
What? They get
bewitched. I can't jiggle my nose. Bewitched. How'd she do that? We're bewitched. Christians are bewitched. We think the Lord's going to laugh at all this and he's okay with it. Jesus is just all right with me. Dudes, we're bewitched. Come on in. Is that Jeff?
Yeah. This is my take on it. What we're lacking is the discipleship and the training. Look at Rusty and look at Pastor Flip, how they have discipled and trained them kids up, both them fathers. It's amazing over the years of what we've seen. That's the key.
And see, I haven't done that. I would say in my life, our son's not serving the Lord. I did the best I could, but nobody told me how to do it. And when I first came in contact with Rusty and Flip, and Operation Save America, and started to take my faith to the street, our two daughters picked it up. They got it. They understood it. Our son didn't. We're believing he's going to come back. I'm not talking about my son. That's disrespectful. No, I don't mean it that way. He's not walking the walk. Anyway, point being what? I'm the one who's supposed to do it. I taught him to play football, baseball. I taught him all that stuff. But I took him to church and let somebody else try to teach him his faith was important. Even though he knew my faith, he knew he could see from me it was important. But he also saw around him at all the phone Christians. Thomases grew up out on the streets. And they didn't see that phony stuff. When they went to the street, they saw the Johnstons and they saw the Campanas and they saw the Zastros. They saw families out there doing ministry together. They didn't go to church with them. They didn't go sit in some pew and in a box. No. They were out on the streets, earnestly contending for the faith. And so what happens when Jeremiah Thomas gets cancer? What happens? He fights. Why? Because he knows that's what Christian men do. He knows it's appointed unto men once to die. He understands he's facing death. So he's got a chance. Hey, let's do this. I only got a few months to live. Let's go get drunk. Let's go get us some women. Let's go screw us some women. Let's live it up here, boys. Did he? No. He went deeper. He dug in. He said, I'm going to make it count here at the end. And boys and girls, some of you are closer to the end than you know, and you ain't done a damn thing. Sorry.
Amen.
And you're losing your kids. Or you've already lost them. You've already lost them to the world. See, Rusty's kids, they didn't have to go to King's Island. They didn't have to go to Cedar Point and ride a roller coaster. They didn't need that kind of thrill. They got that thrill every time they went out on the streets and were contending for the faith. They felt that fire inside of them all the time, fighting for things that really, really mattered. They didn't have to go ride some roller coaster somewhere. They didn't have to go get high and go canoeing down the river to get that rush. They got the rush serving the Lord. And how did they get the rush serving the Lord? They had to watch their daddy. They watched their daddy do it. And so even though everybody around them is calling them fools and all those guys, they're religious, they're getting the last laugh because everybody else is bewitched. Everybody else thinks the Thomases are weird. You're the weirdo. You've been bewitched. Somebody told you that you can go to church and you can shack up with people if you want to. You can go to church and you can fornicate. You can go to church. You can smoke dope and you can do drugs. You can go to church. You can cheat people in your business and go to church. Dude, you is bewitched. Somebody's bewitched you. Somebody bewitched me. Bewitched all of us. I'm feeling
Coach, that is some good preaching, man. I'll tell
I
you.
Know it is, bud. I know it is. Bewitched. God's going to forgive you. He loves you. He's going to forgive you. You've been bewitched.
Coach,
Jesus is not Coach, just all right with you. Yes.
Coach, Paul calls them in Galatians who are bewitched the foolish. He doesn't call them the brethren. If you read, they've lost the faith.
Mm-hmm.
They've turned away.
Amen.
They're not Christians. They're not Christians. They're tares. Okay.
That's right. Hey, Nick, I think it's important, the point that you're making. Remember this, folks. The tares are in the church.
And remember,
it's not the world. It's not the world. He's talking about the tares. The tares are in the church.
Amen.
They look like Christians. They smell like Christians. They grow like Christians, but there ain't no fruit to them.
Yeah. And remember, the Bible says, unlike what some teachings like the rapture say, that the Christians are going to disappear and everybody else is going to be left behind. The Bible says the angels are coming and taking the tares out first and putting.
That's right. They're burning them, Larry. They're cutting them down and burning them.
The whole rapture thing is one of those bewitching tools.
Oh, I would bewitched. That should be the theme of it today, Jared. We've been bewitched, baby. We've been bewitched. Huh?
How about
we've been bewitched.
The song, Jesus is All Right With You, Baby. Jesus is all right with you. Godspell.
Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. Jesus is all right with me. Jesus just all right. I don't care what I may say. I don't care what I may do. I don't care where I may go. Jesus just all right. Oh, yeah.
And that was sung by the Doobie Brothers.
Doobies. What Doobie, huh?
The Doobie Brothers.
Oh, man. Flea Flicker Friday. Come on in. Come on in. Anybody have something they want to get? I got something else. I got a lot of stuff I want to go to today. Huh? I got a lot of stuff.
Hey, Coach. Is it okay if I lighten up a little bit?
Sure.
You know, you're talking about your experience at the airport. You probably should have put a burqa on, carried an Uzi. You might have gotten through okay without any problems.
My wife said the same thing. She said, next time we come here, let's put a turban on. Let's see if they do it to us then. We know they wouldn't, right? Paul, I should have gone to jail. You know what I should have done? When that TSA guy ran his hand up my crotch, I should have cried out, listen, I'm a woman. What's this man doing? I don't think fast enough. That's what I should have done. I want a woman doing this. I'm a woman.
Hey, you know, before the show started this morning, Jared was sharing with us a lot of video and stuff about the wall being built down on the southern border.
Yeah.
And I wanted to try to see some of those, you know, tagged. But I could look at them later, and I did a Google search, and I had to go through 7 pages of Google results, and I still haven't found what he was showing us, but I had to go through 7 pages of Google results because before there was one positive posting about the wall. Google, when you go do that search, 6 pages of negative things about the wall come up before you find one positive.
Yes, but Larry, listen, those dudes are coming down, man. You know what? I just saw Facebook's lost 35% of its followers. Facebook has lost 35%. That kingdom is coming down. That kingdom is crashing, right? Everybody, leave Facebook. Leave Facebook. Find an escape route. Get off of Facebook. Let that beast crash, right? I'm with you, Larry. Google, all of them, they're all tied in together. And we got to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And I understand that's where the world is. And I understand you can have impact there. But that's just me saying that's what I'm going to do. Now, hang on here. Let's go. I'm running out. So I hope my phone doesn't fade. That's where I'm really.
Can I ask you a question, Coach?
No. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
One won't be leaving until 6 or 6:30. Either I bet.
Go ahead. Ask it.
Okay. You know, it's a great and wonderful thing, every baby that is saved from an abortion clinic murder. But if we do not save our country and save it from the future that Islam plans for it, what future have we allowed that baby to be saved?
Yeah, but Larry, it's more than Islam. It's more than Islam. They're eating our, I'm with you, but they're eating our children right in front of us. It ain't Islam that's doing it. The freaking government schools are eating our children. And the homos are eating our children.
You're absolutely right, Coach, but which issue can we capture the imagination and the fire and the intensity of the people with? We can't do it with the argument that we've been trying to do it with because it hadn't worked. But I think we can do it with the issue of Islam. And once we've done it, once we have got the attention, then we can branch out and start fixing so many things. But we have to have an issue that will capture the passion of the people to start with.
But Larry, now wait a minute, Larry. JR would say it's the family. JR would say it's the family.
And I agree the family is so important, but JR has even jumped on board the STAB plan because the STAB emphasis, because he recognizes that somewhere someone has to break through the ice. And I think Islam issue is the one issue that has the best chance.
That they're all, every issue is important. But just like every function of every part of the body is important.
Yes. Yes. That's a point I'm making.
If it functioned on being the liver or being the ear, then the body would not function. What we need is groups of people to come together in certain areas. And yeah, you could focus on one area, but at the same time, you can also support and help, because without the body, without the toe or the kidney, the rest of the body doesn't function properly. So while I might think the LGBT is what everybody needs to focus on,
you're absolutely right, David, and I support you guys. You can ask Jim with Natural Family Foundation. I do everything.
Larry, I'm not saying that you don't.
Is what David's trying to say. Those of you that have other areas of interest, please pursue those. They're important. But do not fail to help somebody else.
Amen. Amen. So yesterday, JR, pull up JR there. JR had an opportunity to be on get my brain working here, Bond Peterson. My brain ain't working. And I'm going to show a little clip of JR yesterday on with Jesse Lee Peterson. There it came to me. And JR represented himself well and some good publicity for Natural Family Foundation. Jared, go ahead and play that.
Back in a moment.
Do you have it there, bud?
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show today. So I have on my monkey shirt today. Monkey see, monkey do. And the reason I have it on, because we are not monkeying around. Monkey. Thank you, man. Thank you so much. Yeah. And so why the Natural Family Foundation? What made you start this foundation?
That's great. There's an old saying, I'll address the natural. There's an old saying that as goes the family, and it ends with so goes the nation. As goes the family, so goes the church.
Yeah.
As goes the family, so goes education. As goes the family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Natural was an interesting term. When I first started the ministry about 3 years ago, I was going to do traditional, and I was going to do modern family, but none of that really fit. And then God gave me the word natural, and I'm going, what do you mean natural? But it just makes sense, because natural is one man, one woman. That's one blue and one pink, by the way, in a lifelong, committed, monogamous relationship with their biological and or adopted children. That is the key to civilizations and We don't want to be monkeying around with that.
That's right.
But we have. And that's why we've gotten into the situation we've got into today. In the family, I just gave you the content of the family, but it's also how you fit together. And that's really where you come into play, Jesse. And this is huge. In the family, you have to have a structure. If you have all the race car parts and you put it together and you put the carburetor in the trunk, you're not going to go anywhere because you just don't have them in order. Order, if you're a Christian, it's God, Jesus Christ, man, woman, children. That's the structure. And what we're experiencing in America today is the breaking of that structure. You speak specifically to the black community, and you should. There's a huge problem there. But guess what, Jesse? The whites are trying to catch up with you.
Yeah.
I know I think you said there's something like a 78% rate where the father isn't in the family and the black family. Well, like I said, we're trying to catch up with you. And when we take a look at what's happening in society today, you take a look at what's going on in the streets, you're seeing anarchy. And anarchy is nothing more than less than lack of structure. Yeah. And it has to be the man. The man has to be driving that car. And I'm sorry, women drivers. It just doesn't work. You got to have the man driving that car, the family car.
Okay, Jared, you can stop that. Folks, I recommend that JR's got that. I recommend we'll put it in the link. It's worth the time. It's worth the time to watch that, right? And I'm going to say this, JR, they'll throw you out of the church if you start talking like that in the church. Unfortunately, see, we've been bewitched, right? As soon as JR goes into the church and starts talking about man being the head of the house, old Jezebel, she's going to get up, right? See, all of the problems are in the church. We are the problem. We have met the enemy, and it's us. Islam, homo, family, government. You go wherever you want to. The problem is the church, boys and girls. We are the problem. We are the solution. And so Donald Trump comes along and says, let's make America great again. We don't even know what he's talking about. People say he's not even Christian. You know what? He's got more of a Christian point of view than most Christians I come across, be honest with you. But be honest with you. So this folks, it's everywhere we look, we are under attack. Now, Larry, they ain't letting you in a church to talk about the Muslims. JR, they ain't letting you in to talk about the family. David, they aren't letting you in to talk about mud packing. They're not going to let you come in and talk about the Federal Reserve. They're not going to let you come in and talk about taxation. They're not going to let you come in and talk about abortion. Yes or no? Yes or no? And who is the solution to all the problems? Moi, the church. So I'm saying this, kick the dust off your feet, boys and girls. Leave. And you look around and you find some people around you who are like-minded, like-hearted, and you go to work with them because you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to give an account and you're not going to be able to say, well, Lord, my pastor never really talked about that. And we really wanted to go, but I was all, you know, I was all by myself and I couldn't, Lord, I lost my job and oh, Lord, they'd have, my own family, they'd have been mad at me if I just started talking about that. Lord, I just get, yeah, well, you've been bewitched. We got us a big problem. Here's the good news. Like somebody said, let's pray that the Lord ends abortion. I said, oh, yeah, that'll be something to see. I don't want to see that. I'd rather we ended it. I'd rather we did it. Because if he has to get up and come down and do it, it ain't going to be very pretty. It isn't. But if we will stand up and man up and work through it, then we have a chance. Say, well, we need to restore the family. Well, if God has to restore the family, we're in a world of hurt. We saw what we did to Noah's family. We saw what happened to that family once before. So that's us. I'm not making light of JR. I'm not making light of Larry. I'm not making light of David. I'm not making light of anybody. The thing is, we are being assaulted on multiple fronts. And the church ain't fighting back on any of them other than, please give us the right to speak.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I don't think you understand, though, because I've been called to be a greeter. That's my calling. I've been called to be a greeter. You know what? How come so many Christians have been called to be? It's a calling to be a greeter, calling to become a parking lot attendant. And yes, we go to the abortion clinic, and I know many people in this show And I commend you. You're doing the same thing. Because, you know, if we don't get life right, we get nothing right, period. But how come so few people have been called to fight and stop abortion? I don't get it. So really,
hey, George,
to that conclusion, what? It's God's fault. God didn't call enough people to end abortion.
George, how about this? What's been the response of the church with the destruction of marriage and the family, which is JR's issue? What's been the response of the church? Crickets. What's been the response of the church to the assault of Islam that Larry's fighting against? Crickets. So who's our team? We're our team. And yes, we ought to support Larry. And yes, we ought to support JR. And yes, we ought to support David. And yes, we ought to support Don David. We ought to support everybody who's fighting these fights. We're being assaulted on Amen. Every issue. But the answer to the problem is the heart of men. And we won't even stand up and challenge the heart of men to rise up and be all that God's called them to be. We won't even do that. They won't even let you in a church. They won't even let you buy time on a local radio station because it might offend people who go to church and then support the radio station. You know what I'm talking about, fellas? We're counterculture. Let's wake up, man. Let's wake up. I'm not trying to win friends and influence people, right? Say, oh, Coach, you catch a lot more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. I ain't looking for no freaking flies. That's our problem.
Amen, Coach. Right, Coach. On. Where are the men?
They're here. They're here, Coach, in the huddle. Yeah,
I think that the body of Christ, with all its different parts, with all that people have been called to do, has been dismembered and broken apart like a little aborted baby by the surgeon Satan.
Bewitched. They bewitched us, Karen. It has been. Karen, not the real body of Christ. I think the real body of Christ is still out there, vibrant as ever. And there's a separation going on. And we're
seeing
it.
Here's my point, Coach. We all have our parts and we all have our callings and we're still there, but we're only strong and truly functional to make a difference, like taking down abortion, if we all stand together.
Yeah,
and we're not together anymore. We've been dismembered. And Satan knows how to take away the power. Mm. He dismembers everybody, gets everybody fighting on selfishness, looking only at themselves, and get so in disagreement that they can't even stand up and walk anymore. We're not able to stand up and walk as a whole body because been torn apart by Satan.
What a picture, huh?
I couldn't have said it better when God put this thing on my heart. And made me realize that it's going to take us to force the politicians to even look at the problem. And that's one reason Stab isn't trying to tell the politicians what to do about the problem. We're just telling them to address the problem. And then Stab, if you read our stuff on that, we don't ask for donations. Thank God some people have. It's helped out. But we don't ask for donations because I don't want your money. All I want is you to go find more people who will stand with us and join with us and grow our numbers. So when we talk to other groups and other people, we have some impressive numbers to tell them, because this world, that counts.
So why didn't I put my glasses on here a second, get them down over my nose. I'm going to look you in the eye here. I should have made them throw me in a paddy wagon yesterday. In that airport. They only get away with it because we let them get away with it. I should have pitched a whatever. I should have thrown a fit. I should have shut down every one of those lines. I should have prostrated myself across that screener and blocked that screen machine. Instead, what? I don't want to be bothered with it. That's what you're fighting, Larry. That's what you're fighting, JR. That's what you're fighting, David. People love themselves too much. And you know what? If I'd have done that yesterday, I'd be on Fox News this morning. Somebody is going to have to lay down their life and make a sacrifice that others are going to follow. It's not going to happen through talk. It's not going to happen through petitions. It's not going to happen through prayer. At some point, somebody's going to have to stand up. As I said to everybody, faith without works is dead. And I'm glad that Jesus is not still in the garden. Jesus went to the garden. And when he said, okay, Lord, I got it. I'm going to go lay down my life. that when he went and laid down his life, it was through the obedience of laying down his life that you and I are free today. Had he stayed in the garden and continued to pray, had he said to the Lord, I say, sorry, hey, sorry, Dad, just a little busy this week. I got a softball game I got to go to. You know, the Buckeyes are on this weekend. I don't have time to do it. And God, hey, Dad, if I go do that, they're going to be saying all kinds of mean things about me, and they're not going to come to salvation. So, Dad, hey, Dad, can you find somebody else to do it? In fact, Jesus asked him, yeah, Father, is there any other way? Can somebody else do this? Can somebody else do this? No. Hey, fellas, if it has to be, it's up to me. God bless you. See you tomorrow. No, see you.